for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, July the 5th, 2000. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Butch Taylor of Slaughter, Louisiana is the minister of the morning.
He's the coming King of Glory. I will praise Him. He's the coming King of Glory. I will praise Thee. Praise the Lord. He's the fairest of 10,000. I will praise Him. He's the fairest of 10,000. I will praise Him. To the fairest of 10,000, I will praise Him. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah. Everything you want's wrapped up in Jesus. Amen. Everything you want's wrapped up in Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababaka Shata Katarabolo Boranda. Hallelujah.
But say to thee today, my children, open up thine eyes. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God? Truly I have put an anointing in thee, saith the Lord, and even in thy mouth I have put a two-edged sword, saith God. And yea, thou shalt begin to proclaim the goodness of thy God. And yea, thou shalt begin to put those things which so easily beset thee aside, saith the Lord. Yea, I have taken sickness out of thy midst, saith the Lord. There is another rim that you must walk in. Into, said the Lord, for I have brought thee out that I might bring thee in. Yea, it is a much lofty place, said the Lord. Think not about those things that would solely bring thee down, said the Lord, for truly I have put an anointing and an authority in thee, said the Lord. My son liveth and abideth in thee this day, and I shall bring you up, said God, for I am not intending to bring you down. I am he that is higher than above all powers and principalities, and wickedness, saith the Lord. But look up, saith God, for truly thy redemption draweth nigh, and the heavens shall open, and behold, you shall see me. Yea, for thou shalt know me, for you shall be as I am, saith the Lord. Truly I have spoken thee in sundry time, and yea, I have said unto thee, I have taken all sickness and disease out of thy midst, and I have delivered thee, yea, even from a terrible pit, saith the Lord. Think it not strange, for the enemy would like to plant seed in thy mind, but the seed of Christ liveth and abideth in thee, and the true Son shall come forth, and yea, he shall be mighty in that which he saith, saith the Lord. You shall trample upon serpents and scorpions, and yea, saith the Lord, they shall not hurt thee, and even through thy wilderness experience, saith the Lord, they shall not inhabit thee, for thou shalt know that I am God, and I am lifted up even in thy midst, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I receive
glory to
it.
God.
I receive
hallelujah.
It.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just worship the Lord and thank Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Just thank Him. Amen. I feel quickened by that creative word. Hallelujah. Just receive your healing this morning. Receive your healing. Hallelujah, I'm quickened. I feel a quickening in my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. You don't even need hands laid on you. You let that word work in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And have I not spoken? Have I not said that if you will believe, if you will believe, you will see me coming. Hallelujah. You will see me coming, amen, in realms of glory that you have not yet tasted of. Oh, open your heart to receive it, and you shall be quickened by my Spirit, says the Lord. If you will believe in your heart, if you will believe, hallelujah, glory to God.
Impart something to this congregation by the word. I'm going to make you every one the battle axe of the Lord. Then you will battle. Then you'll rise up and battle. Because the battle axe of the Lord must cut and slice and rise up and destroy all parts of the enemy. And some of you are too wishy-washy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Listen, this girl went through death and has been raised up to live forevermore. I want to tell you something.
Hallelujah.
When I look at her, I see God's power and authority manifesting.
Hallelujah.
Listen, you've got to believe God for these things.
Yes.
You've got to battle for Him. You've got to stand for Him.
Amen.
Ask Glenn. He can tell you.
Amen.
While you were praising the Lord, I put my word in your mouth. Speak to the rebellious cells. Speak to the rebellious cells. The cells in your body that are rebellious, that are not working in divine order. Speak to them. Command them to come in divine order. You do it. You do it. Speak to the rebellious cells. Start talking to your body. Come in divine order. Liver, come in divine order. Heart, come in divine order. In the name of Jesus, speak to those rebellious cells. Speak to those rebellious cells, brother. Amen? That are trying to destroy. Because the power is in you already. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. I want to read you a scripture. Hallelujah. You know what really irks me? I mean, there's some things in the church that I see going on that really irks me. And I have seen preachers, evangelists, walk in the pulpit and not even bring a word. You know, it's all right to have it in your heart, but at least, you know, for somebody that doesn't know it, you need to encourage people to bring their word. Amen? You know, I played a trick on y'all if you were here Sunday, and I misread some scriptures. And you'll never know if the scripture is misread unless you bring your word to follow along and see if that's what's being said. Amen. You know what? It doesn't take much for the devil to trick you up.
Good.
In Ephesians. I did it on purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Amen. They was praying for me. I did it on purpose, and they was praying for me. They thought, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory. I was talking about the book that God had given me to read in Ephesians in chapter 4. And this is really the gist of what the book is to be about. If I ever sit down and get enough time to really pin that book together. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, He is the one who gives these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Verse 12 says, And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up His church and the body of Christ. Until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of the Son of God that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So, what are we to do? We are to teach the saints to do the work of the ministry. Do you realize today, as I stand before you in an awesome position, awesome, awesome position, if I do not implant or impart something into you, I'm going to have to stand before my Maker one day, and God's going to say, why didn't you give them something that they could take and use and minister to others?
Amen.
If I tell you about the football game they had last night, that's done nothing. If I tell you about the baseball game that happened last week, that's done nothing. But if I'll tell you what Christ did 2,000 years ago for us, then our purpose will be accomplished. Our purpose will be accomplished. I believe one of the sinners, the Christian's greatest prayer ought to be, Lord, forgive me for what I've not done and I should have done up until this time that I've done it. I like what it says in Romans 10, was it 10:27? It says, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. And a lot of people don't understand what that means. That means maybe you, when you were a sinner and you was a Christian and you went back into sin, and then when you came back, God's going to hold you responsible from that moment forward. See, He wants you to pick up from there and go, oh, Lord, just think about all the sorriest time. No, that's behind you. I've been teaching on this is the first part of the second part of your life. Amen. Yesterday we talked about the second part of the first part of Jesus' ministry. Amen? And today what I want to talk about, the first part of the second part of your life of where your ministry is. That's all right? Because what I want to do, I want to teach you to do the work of the ministry. You know, if I lay hands on this sister and she's healed, you know, God's going to get the glory. But what if I was supposed to have taught you, the saints, to lay hands on her, and you don't lay hands on her, and she doesn't get healed? Who's going to get the glory? There's sin in the church. There's sin in the camp. Do you know that we can be in church sinning? You know, I could walk around as a prophet, and I could point out some people that's sitting in this body right now that's in sin. They're in church. They're believers. Spirit-filled. You might have even heard them speak in tongues a while ago, and they've got some word in them. They don't have it. They should have more word in them, but they should be preaching and teaching, but yet they're just filling a pew right here in this body. Praise God, I'm not going to do it, because you know who you are. Because you know who you are. See, but you're too hung up. Satan's got you too hung up on yesterday. Yesterday's gone. I'm like a weatherman. A weatherman can tell you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, or maybe what might happen tomorrow, but I can tell you exactly what happened yesterday. And see, that's what God's saying. Forget about yesterday. Let's pick up and let's go on today. Learn what God's got for you. He's got some things for you. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I don't normally do this, especially when I'm invited to be in someone else's pulpit, but I feel like that there's a testimony that someone just wants to tell. Just take 2 minutes to tell. If you'll stand up, whoever you are, and go ahead and give testimony right now. Maybe what God's been doing through you or doing to you. Is that you, brother?
That's confirmation. I just ask the Lord to quicken the spirit to call it out right now. Sister Mildred and Brother Glenn and Brother Marzullo didn't get up here to admonish y'all for no reason at all, because that's what the Lord wants to do here today. And believe me, they didn't admonish you with, and I'm not going to admonish you without the Lord first admonishing us. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Okay. Here's the deal. This camp is here to raise up warriors for God.
Yes.
That's the purpose.
Yes.
Okay. And it's commandment of God to be a good steward over that which He has given you. And His call for every one of us here today is to be a good steward over the armor that He's furnished us, over the weapons of our warfare that He's given us, over the knowledge and insight, revelation
yeah.
that we gain from the teachings that are from His pulpit, a good steward over the deliverance that you've received, to walk it out and take it home and impart it to your people and share it with those that are lost. It's a stewardship thing.
Amen.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay? And His Word. We've got to be good stewards over His Word. We've got to be good stewards over what He's put in our hearts and in our minds to share with the people. That it's a privilege, you know, to be saved by grace. It's a privilege to understand that you've been saved by grace.
Yes.
And there are so many people that don't understand that privilege. They will never know it unless we go out and tell them.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Bishop.
Praise God. When we were in the prison, which the Lord spoke to me profoundly concerning the tongue. And I wrote it down. And he said, this camp will be the training, a training camp. Training leaders to go through the land and the globe to raise leaders who will catch fire, or who will send fire, and people will catch fire through them. And they will go all over with the anointing of God upon their life.
Amen. That is good, brother. Brother, you haven't been at the camp all week long, but that's been the word of prophecy that's been going forth, and how the change is coming in. You're right on.
Oh!
Glory! In God have amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
You remember one of the statements I made at the first part of Sunday? I said, there's going to be more miracles happen at the end. There's going to be more healings happen at the end. You know, a lot of them will happen after I've gone. And it's not me. I'm just making it that I'm going to be believing. But there's fixing to be a wave come in. There's fixing to be a wave come in. And I really believe the fasting and the purging of ourselves tomorrow and yourselves tomorrow will be ushering in the Spirit of God. Not saying he hasn't been here. He has been here tremendous. But I'm glad Sister Mary's not here, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. You haven't seen anything yet. There's something fixing to happen, fixing to break loose. Thank you, Bishop. Sure, okay.
My mother was from Louisiana, and she was into witchcraft. She was a witch. And I never personally was one or wanted to be one or anything. I've just been under a lot of generational bondage concerning that. And I was feeling a lot of rejection before Brother Frank preached. And things were telling me, you need to get up, you need to get out of here, and you need to never come back. And I was, you know, because I was feeling so rejected. And it took everything in me to stay in the seat and to stay here and press through. And I kept going, God, there's a route to this. And he was like, just yield to me and I'll show you. And I just stayed there by God's grace. And then Brother Frank started saying, and the Lord's already shown me this. My mother tried to kill me in the womb with a hanger before I was born. And the Lord's already shown me that, and I've received some measure of deliverance on it. But there was something deeper that needed to come out that's never been embarked on before. And he started talking about that. And he didn't even know I was talking to God. And he just started talking about that. And I started rubbing my side right here. And I was having an ear problem with fluid in my ear before I got delivered. And I just started rubbing it and crying. And I kept focusing on what God had already shown me, that my mother tried to kill me. And then by God's sovereign move, he delivered me. My mother worked witchcraft on me to kill me in the womb. And God sovereignly and graciously healed me. And I'm so grateful. I was so humbled and embarrassed. That's pride. But I'm very grateful that he did that for me. And God totally healed my ear. There's no more fluid in my ear. My ear is totally healed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go into the Word. Hallelujah. You got your Bible, will you?
Yes.
Good. Hold it up and wave it at the devil. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the Word. We thank you, Lord, that you had men and women to sit down and pen a Word that we could live by. Father, we live in the greatest times it's ever been in the history of the world. Father, we have your word, and we have your divine order, and we have your divine commandment to go forth. And Father, I thank you that we have direction, we have wisdom, and we have understanding. And Father, everyone that has that word can receive into their spirit the direction to go, and they're destined to what they're supposed to do. So we thank you today for the word. Thank you we'll receive revelation knowledge out of it, because you are Lord over every situation. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. I'm the type of person, a lot of things in my life is not in order, but boy, when it comes to the Word of God, I want it in order. Hello? You know, I'm not the type of person that goes into the pulpit and I'm just going to wait on the Lord till He speaks, you know, and I want to know before I get there. And I knew what I was going to preach the first message up when I got up here, but I didn't know what I was going to have after that. I'm used to pastoring people, and so I don't have three messages as an evangelist does. They preach those three messages and move to the next city. You know, I've got people, and I very seldom preach the same message twice. But after I've been ministering up here, God has been giving me a word in my message for the next message. And I'll tell you, one of the most beautiful things it is to feel the anointing and see the anointing is how this thing is just coming together, how everybody's message just fits one to another, just like a ball and glove and a glove up on the hand. But I'm excited to see. And this is a message that God just told me to go ahead and speak as I was ministering Sunday about the water coming out from under the threshold out of Ezekiel. But if you will go with me to, let's see if Luke 5 is where I want to go. Yeah, let's go to Luke 5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for clarity today. Thank you, Father, for your spirit today. Thank you, Father, that you're ministering today in Jesus' name. You know, I thank you, God, for the word, because, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all parallels of different stories that happened at different times. And the more I study the word, I find that chronologically the order is not exactly right. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if the order is not exactly right. The word is always right. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's right for that time that you need it, and it's right when you need it. Amen? Let's start off in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Would you please just repeat to me, washing their nets. Washing their nets is one of the most important things that a fisherman can do. Washing your nets in the ministry is why we see so many ministries today fall, is because the ministers don't wash their nets. They try to keep catching fish and catching fish and catching fish with the same old dirty net. I love boiled crawfish, and I don't know if you've ever eaten boiled crawfish, but that's one of my favorite meals. But I like the water changed after it's been boiled every once in a while. Amen? You know, I'm not much of a cook and not much of a kitchen person, but, you know, I was kind of planning tomorrow is just volunteering my services in the kitchen if I was going to be here. And I found out they're going to be fasting anyway, so I got out of that kitchen duty. But, you know, Ronnie and I was up in Alabama not too long ago, and they had never had any Cajun food. And if you've never had Cajun food, it's no different than any other food. It's just that it's seasoned a little bit different. Amen? And, you know, Cajun food kind of reminds me of the charismatic word. It's the same word everybody else is preaching, but it's just got a little different seasoning to it, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen? Got a little kick with it. Amen? It's got a little punch. Amen? It's got something that you'll talk about after you get out from away from church, because you got something that you can remember. Amen? It's got something that'll give you a little taste and a little push. And hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So, but Ronnie, we were up in Alabama, and so Ronnie was talking about doing some cooking. Now, this home that we were staying in, Ronnie says, I'll go into the kitchen and cook. And I, you know, sometimes I wonder if I really want to be an evangelist. I like neat, clean situations. And this house was not as neat and as clean as I'd like for it to have been. Yeah. Can I get an amen on that? And so Ronnie says, I'll cook for you. But Ronnie went in the kitchen, and after 3 hours of cleaning that kitchen and washing his pots and pans, he was preparing to cook us a meal. Now, I don't think it ought to be that way. And I'll even go a step further. If I've ever invited back to that church, I'm not staying in that house anymore. You know, I mean, this is curtains. That's the last time, last performance, you know. But, you know, after he cleaned that stuff, cleaned the kitchen, cleaned the utilities, cleaned the pots and cleaned the pans, then he cooked a good meal. But you know what? What's happening to the church today? We're trying to take and fix a meal in yesterday's pot. And we're trying to wonder what's happening to the people, and the people are getting food poison. Or they're getting spiritual poison because they're not walking in their holiness, and they're not walking in their sanctification, because they just want to, you know, is it all right to say just make do? And let me tell you something. God's not coming back for a church that just wants to make do. God's coming back with a church without spot or wrinkle. It's going to be clean, and it's going to be changed, and it's going to be the groom, and it's going to be a wedding coming, hallelujah. And I'm going to be the bride, hallelujah. I'm going to be changed when he comes back. And I'm ready to go right now, hallelujah. I'm ready to go right now. But I would like to get back to Louisiana first and get me one more pot of jambalaya. One more bowl of gumbo. But I'm ready. Would like to see my wife and my children and my grandchildren one more time. But I mean, if it's time, I'm ready. But the church is not getting ready because they'll settle for anything. The church is hungry. The church is starving. The preachers today has not done anything but throwing out soda crackers and expecting that to keep them full. It's not going to do it. The preachers are not cleaning their nets. The preachers are not cleaning themselves, and they're not going in and after they've ministered and after they've handled demons and devils, and they're not cleaning themselves. And I believe one of our biggest demonizing problems that we have in the church is the preachers themselves. I love to work on cars, and I've got a shop, and I love to work on my airplane. I got hung in my shop, and I love to do this and that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a good cook, but you sure wouldn't want me to cook you a meal after I come out of my shop. I'm greasy, I'm dirty, I'm stinky, my right guard broke down, and I'm just not fit for nothing except a good shower. Me and my wife have more problems because sometimes I take 3 showers a day. You know, I sweat hard, I play hard, whatever I do, I pray hard, I preach hard. My life is a hard life, amen, but I want to have a clean life, amen. Hallelujah. I just don't want something just picked up and say, here, try this, try this, try this. Yeah. See, the preachers, these men were cleaning their nets. And one scripture says they were washing, they were mending their nets. Why we're not catching fish today, we're not... Right. That's right. Why we're not catching fish today, we're wondering why our church is not growing today, because we're not mending what we got. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what we're trying to do, we're like the lake that has gone down and it's in a drought situation, and you catch a few little old fish that's up in a corner and you say, this is it, and that ain't it at all. That ain't it at all. And you say, we'll take these few and that'll be enough. No, God says he's got a whole group of people that will come in when the church gets right.
That's right.
When the church gets right. That night when we sat down at the supper table after Ronnie had cooked, I mean, that house was full. People was in that house to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because why? There was a new odor in the house. They had good, clean food. We had something to serve them. Hallelujah. Church, if you'll carry something home with you and something to serve your people, you'll see people coming in. I like to go to elegant places in need. Amen? And I like to be served. And I like good food and good places. And I like to go into those places where when you go in there, the waiter comes out there and he's saying, "Is there anything else I can give you?" And what we don't understand today, Jesus is standing there and he says, "There's a lot of things else I want to give you, but you won't accept it because you won't take long. You'll settle for anything." I'm going to tell you something. I like peanut butter and jelly, but I can't make a life off of eating peanut butter and jelly. Amen. I like a variety of a lot of things. And you'll never get a variety of a lot of things if you don't get a clean, unadulterated word of God spoken to you. Amen? See, and that's what the camp is doing here. See, that camp is bringing in men and women to come in to cleanse you, to make you want to be cleansed. Hallelujah. Glory. Want to make you relaxed. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. If we'll just cleanse our spirit, cleanse our spirit, cleanse our spirit, we can go into the altar and we can actually order. You know, the word in the Greek, it says, "Ask the Lord and He'll give you." That's not what it means in the Greek. It says, "Order from the Lord and He will give you." We can order these things. Amen? When you're right. When you're not right, you can't order nothing. I remember I've had businesses and I've had people work for me. And I remember how some of the guys would get off and hide, and I'd find them hiding. But yet, they sure didn't hide on payday. They didn't hide on payday. And, you know, I believe that them guys that hiding on payday ought to come get their checks like this. But we don't, and that's the way we do God. You know, we'll just come in and expect anything. We'll settle for anything. We'll settle for anything. You know, you ought to be particular where you go and go to church. You ought to make sure you go to the right church. You might ought to make sure that you're getting fed. Because a lot of people are dying in church because they're going to churches that the ministers are not mending and cleansing their nets. In Luke 5, he says, "And they were washing their net." Let's talk about nets just for a second. You know why the church is not catching fish? It's because they're not networking. Networking. Do you realize that on computers, and maybe some of you got computers and you started networking, the internet. You know where the word networking comes from? It's a biblical word. Working nets together. In chapter 5 here is what was actually doing. These men were networking. They had put one net out, and they were working that net together. And they was taking one net, and it was not a community net, but they was making that net work together. Church, we can make that the church work if we'll start networking, working our net. So, I mean, we think networking is something new. Jesus had it working for him 2,000 years ago. Amen. He had a network working going for him, and he didn't even have a computer. Didn't need email. Talking about the net, and I mentioned this Sunday, why networking doesn't work. Because it takes, let me read you something. It takes string or cord to make a net work. You got to start off with some string. Let me read you something, if you would. Hold your place there in Luke, but I want to read you over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 something. Listen to what it says in chapter 4. If you want to go there, you can. It starts off in verse 9. It says, "Two people can accomplish much more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help." But people who are alone, when they fall, are in real trouble. People who are alone are in real trouble. Isn't that something? And on a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. And a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. This is the scripture I want you to see here. Three are even better, for a single braided cord is not easily broken. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And see what God wants to do. He wants to bring us into a cord, a string. Have you ever taken a cotton bowl and pulled the cotton out? And as you pull that cotton out, you can just start twisting that cotton. And as you twist that cotton and you turn it loose, it untwists. But think of your life as being that cotton. And how many times you've been twisted and twisted and twisted and you don't think that you can stand anymore. And then all of a sudden you find the Lord, Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost that goes in there. And that Holy Ghost represents just the water of life. And you lick your fingers and twist that cotton up. And then that cotton, and with that pressure and with that water, will stay in that formation. And then the Bible says, now let's twist three together. Well, what's happening? Oh, I don't want to be twisted with her. She's too radical. I don't want to be wrapped around with them. They're too radical, because I guess I'll just stay a single person. But the Lord says if we will three come together and be twisted together, and we can be a cord, and we will not easily be broken. Do you realize since I've been here, I have been wrapped with people from Indiana. I have been wrapped with people from Texas. And I've been unwrapped from people from Florida. And I've been wrapped with people from California. And I've been wrapped with people from Hot Springs. And I've been wrapped, and I'm getting wrapped with a bishop from Africa. Why? Because a threefold cord is not easily broken. Not easily broken. Are y'all with me? Listen. So now we have our cord, and our cord is a good cord. It's a strong cord. Got a lot of strength. Not easily broken. Now we need to start making our nets. Well, I still don't want to be tied with this one. See, we don't understand that we need to be tied, because so many times when we try to tie on with one, we tie with a slip knot. The tighter you pull it, the more you slip. And people often wonder, well, what's wrong with this church? You're not tied in. What's wrong with that church? You're not tied in. I have people come to our church and they say, well, when I was over at so-and-so and so-and-so's church, we don't do it like that. And I said, well, guess what? You're not over at so-and-so and so-and-so's church. You're here. Now, this is the way we're going to tie together. You know, you want to get tied with us, we're going to do it this way. And we're going to make our network this way. Because this is the way that net's going to work. Amen? See, this is the way that net's going to work. So, what the church is having a problem with is their nets. Amen? Number one demonic force that's in the church today is the net. Somebody ought to write that down. Because I'm going to show you some things in the scripture before I end. I'm going to show you some demonic things that Jesus shows, illustrates in the scriptures as we go here in Luke 5. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, in verse 3, and prayed with him in Luke 5, that he would thrust out a little further from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he left speaking to him, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your, that's plural, nets. N-E-T-S. There's something that you need to see, because a lot of time we don't see the plurality there. So he says, let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my... Somebody spell, pronounce that word for me. Will somebody spell that word for me? He said, well, Master, I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to put down my nets, but I'll put down a net. I want you to go to Africa, and I want you to speak to these tribes on the west side of Africa, and where their problem is, seems to be bad, it seems to be hard. And the bishop said, Lord, I'll go to East Africa. I'll go over there where there's more provision. It's going to be a little bit easier. God says, I didn't say, let down your net. Let down your nets. We don't understand the plurality of the scripture, do we? I mean, how many times have you read that and never saw there was a single case there and there's a plural case there? I want to show you something. Let's go a little deeper. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their what broke? Net broke. Their net broke. Now, if you go over into, we're not going there, but if you go over into John 21, verse 11, it says that great multitude of fish was 153 fish. Now, why did their net break? I am so glad you asked that question, because if you had not, I would not have any more messages to preach. Their net broke because they was dealing with a demon called greed. They were greedy. They were greedy. They were greedy. Kind of like that fellow you've heard said, why did that fellow drown? Well, he stole more chain than he could swim with. They were greedy. See, I mean, you know what? Jesus can bless you, but you can still be greedy. See, Jesus wants to bless people, but they can still be greedy. I went to a singing one time, and it was a covered dish singing. And they had a group came in from Louisiana, and we were in that, well, another part of Louisiana, I should have said. And while they were in there singing, the man's wife went in there with a bag and took all the groceries off the table, loaded it in the van, and when we went in there for our covered dish, the food was gone. People were getting healed. People were getting set free. People were getting delivered. They got them a good offering. What happened? Spirit of greed. Spirit of greed. Spirit of greed. You realize we're dealing with a spirit of greed in the church? We're dealing with a spirit of greed. I mean, man, people are so greedy, 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 greedy. I'm going to, can I talk about prosperity for just a minute? The Bible says in 1 John 3:2-1, it says, Beloved, he said, I want you to prosper and be in health as your soul. Do you think the church is prospering? Brother, my mic's getting real weak. They can't even hear me no more. I said, do you think the church is prospering? No, it's not prospering. Because first of all, you'll never prosper until you get rid of a greedy spirit. You'll never prosper until you get rid of greed. See? So, I'm kidding with you. Wake up and listen. I'm out there. I'm punching it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good. It's working good. But listen. See, the church is not prospering. Some of them are being healed. But see, we'll take certain areas we want to get healed in. Went to a lady one time, and I was going through it's my sister. Ain't no need beating around the bush, because otherwise you'd say, well, why was you at that lady's house? You know, I went to my sister because she taught me one of the first parts about deliverance I really knew in the church. And so I was going through a stressful time, and I was drinking a lot of coffee, and I was having a lot of problems in my business. And so I went to her, and I wanted to pray for me for stress. And I was drinking probably a gallon or more of coffee a day. I'd drive from Cracker Barrel to Cracker Barrel getting my coffee. And so I went in there and I said, let's pray that God will just take this demon of caffeine away from me and I can get set free. But my sister smoked. And I figured when she going to cast that demon of caffeine out of me, caffeine, she thought I probably would cast that demon of nicotine out of her. You know what she did? She went and made me a pot of coffee. You know, a lot of people's not going to get set free from things that they really like. Okay? There are a lot of people, but you got to trust God through some situations. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. I've been in situations where God told me to give everything that I had in my pocket and believe Him on the way home to get home. That's a tough situation. But you know why you can't trust Him if He really speaks to you when that comes? It's because of greed. So the Bible says here that their nets broke in verse 6. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. I mean, Jesus is going to bless us. God's going to pour His Spirit out upon us, and my nets are going to break, and my boats are going to sink. We're dealing with something here. Have y'all seen this before? We're dealing with something. We're dealing with something. And we walk around and we say, God, why is He being blessed? Why is she being blessed? And why this and why that and why that? Because God can trust some people and some people He can't trust. You need to ask yourself, God, can you trust me? I remember one time when I was in business and I was in another business I had, and there was a big franchise came to me and they said, we want to take you over because we have observed you as a businessman, and we want to take you in because we know that you'll be good in our franchise. And if I was to call the franchise name out, you'd know it. And they says, and here's the deal. And they went through all the deal, and they says, do you want it? I said, no. And they says, no. They says, we have never been turned down any time we offer a franchise. Do you understand what we're saying? They said, yeah. And he says, why you don't want this? And I says, because you told me I would be a millionaire within a year. You said I'd be a multimillionaire within a year, didn't you? He said, yeah. I said, and he says, I don't want to be a multimillionaire. I said, man, you talk like a crazy man. Why? I says, because I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I couldn't handle it. Man, they get up and I walk out of my house and leave, you know, and 6 months later they come back again, and they said, we want to talk. I said, okay, let's talk. They offered me the same deal, and they said, do you want it? I said, yeah. I don't understand it. 6 months ago you didn't want it. I said, well, 6 months ago I couldn't handle it, but today I can handle it. And so I got that franchise, and sure enough, in 6 months, I was a millionaire. And the next 6 months, I done sold a business and got out of it. Because God said, that's all I wanted you to do. He said, I want you to turn everything that you got completely over to me. And so I went back full-time in the ministry. Right? See, God will give you things when you can handle things. But see, what we'll do, we'll load up our boats until our boat starts to sink. We'll load up our boats until we start to sink. Amen? Am I saying anything, or am I just wasting time? Yeah. I mean, we'll load up our boats until we start to sink. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. And as they beckoned to their partner, well, verse 8, and when Peter saw it, he fell on his knees at Jesus' feet. See, Peter recognized. He said, oh, Lord, I got a problem. He said, I got a demon of greed, and Jesus, oh, just get out of my sight. I'm not even worthy of standing before you. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Depart from me, Jesus.
I'm a wicked man. I'm an evil man. My thoughts were not right. And when you wanted to share, I wanted the whole kit and caboodle. The church is in the same position today that I was in when that company came and asked me for a franchise. We pray for revival all the time. Oh, Lord, send revival, send revival, send revival. We don't know what revival is. And I'm going to tell you something. We'll never get revival until the church is ready for revival. If you're a pastor and you got 100 people in your church and God was to send 200 people into your church, are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? We're not prepared for it.
That's right.
Until we get prepared, we're not going to see revival. We'll see a spurt over here and a spurt over there and a spurt over here and a spurt over there. But that's not revival. That's just a glimpse of glory. But see, God said, I want you to be revived. I want you to be ready. I want your saints. I want you saints to be ready to handle the Word of God. He said, I want you to be trained up. I want you to be ready to go out and minister. Minister, minister, minister. People always want to get in my pulpit. I say, they want to get in my pulpit and preach from here. I said, well, you preach from my pulpit where I first preached. Well, sure, let's go out there on the riverbank. Let's go get on the ferries that cross the Mississippi River where you got an encapsulated crew and a group there standing on the back of that fantail of that boat and preach to them. And you only got 30 minutes, and will you preach to them? Now, I used to ride the ferry and preach to them across the Mississippi River. Could have been like Jonah. They don't like what I hear. They could have phoned me over. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We go preach on the streets. Well, they'll preach from the pulpit, but they don't want to go do the witnessing. See, they're wanting the glory. Hallelujah. So what did he say? Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished in all that was with him at the draw that the fish that they did bring in. And also John and James, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with him. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch fish. And he said, henceforth thou shalt catch fish. Men, men, men. You know, if you go to the Greek and you look up the word nets in the Greek, it means a catcher. Just a catcher. You're a catcher. You're a catcher. You're a catcher. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a catcher.
You're a catcher.
Yeah.
Turn to another neighbor and say, you're a catcher.
You're a catcher.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're catchers. Hallelujah. Amen. We're catchers. Hallelujah. That's all we are, just catchers. Just catchers, just catchers, just catchers. E-ba-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. So the Lord says that we're not catching men because we got holes in our nets. We got nets that's dirty. We're not cleaning ourselves. And we'll just take what comes along. When I go fishing, I know what I'm going to catch. Because I know what type of bait I'm going to use. If I want bass, I use baits that bass will bite. If I want sackalay, I use sackalay bait. If I want turtles, I'll use turtle bait. If I want catfish, I'll use a bait that will catch catfish. If I want men, I'll use the Word of God.
Amen.
If I want men, I'll use the Word of God. Unadulterated Word of God. Clean. Be an example to them. And I have to keep myself clean. I have to keep myself purged. I have to keep myself ready to go in. Ready to go forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Give me some wireless mic.
Joshua. Joshua is able to
speak to the sun and the moon and
this
stand
one,
still.
Here, yellow.
And God is looking men, women, that he can trust with his word.
Yes.
And when he finds that man or that woman that he can trust with his word, that person is going to be able to say, son, stand still.
Amen.
God is looking for that person even now.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And when he finds that person, look out. And he's able to say to the son, stand still until the work of the Lord is done.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The
person that has his net cleansed.
Yes. Amen. Brother, I want you to just start calling out people that, and pray for people that might be having a grievous type spirit, and I want to see them set free today.
Amen.
I'm going to give you the mic. You can hold it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That man right there. Come up here, brother. Brother, I see a hungry heart here. Hungry for the things of the Lord. Hungry to be involved in the ministry of the Lord. Hungry to know knowledge.
Yes.
I see it in his spirit right now. God is going to give you the desire of your heart as you cleanse yourself. As you cleanse yourself. Yes. You're here because you want something. And God is going to give you that something because he sees that hunger, that thirst in your heart. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Today is the beginning. Today is the rising up of a new day. Now just receive from the living God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You will go back to your people and you will tell them of the mercy of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. And you will set those that are captives free, saith the Lord. And you shall lay hands upon those that are weary, those that are helpless, those that are sick. And you shall see the goodness of the Lord. For goodness and mercy shall follow you as you speak the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, but just minister with me. I don't know what's going to happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Come stand behind him, Ronnie. I don't know what's going to happen to him. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Glory to the Lamb.
That lady right there, you sister in the blue. Will you come up here, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Stand behind her.
Hallelujah. The Lord has heard your cry and has healed your wounded spirit.
Yes.
He has heard your cry and has healed your wounded spirit. Do not think about the past hurt anymore. For he said, I have heard it. I have cleansed it. The problem is with me now, saith the Lord.
Yes.
It is not yours anymore. Do not concentrate it on anymore. It's gone as far as the east is from the west. Now, the Lord says, begin. Yes, as Brother Ron says, the second half of your life. Stop beginning. Look to me. Do not say, I am too old. Do not say, because I will supply the needs. I will enforce and strengthen you, saith the Lord.
Yes.
And I will put my word in your mouth, and you will know that it is I who is guiding you. I will open your mouth to utter my words, saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the Lord is faithful, Sister Cheryl. Now rest in me. Now rest in me. I will be the one that watch over you, saith the Lord. Rest in me. Rest in me. Rest in me. And the Lord would also say, I'm going to unload your boat. I want to unload your boat.
Amen.
There's times your boat looks like it's sinking, and it's not something that you put in your boat. It's something others have put in your boat. He said, I'm going to bring the draft up on your boat, saith God, and I'm going to change the ship, and I'll change the flow, saith God, and I'm going to bring you into a sail, and I'm going to let my wind blow your boat, and I'm going to sail you into a safe harbor, saith God, and you just allow me. He says, because you are a fisher, saith God. You are a fisher of men, saith God. You are a fisher of men, saith God. And he says, I'm coming to the point that I'm putting a bait on your hook. I'm putting a bait on your line. And fear not what other people say the way you fish, because you're being productive, saith God. He said, you could even fish with jugs if you'd win men, saith God, because he said, I'm the one that's calling you to do the fishing, saith God. And he says, now, because of your time of meditation, I've shown you the way of fishing. I've shown you the way of fishing. And people said, well, because of this and that, you're able to catch. No, it's not because of this and that. It's this in here, saith God. It's coming out of me, saith God. It's why you're catching my fish. And my fish are going to be put down in glory. And they're going to know the Lord. And you'll get the reward, saith God, because you are the fisher. And he said, not only being the fisher of men, I thank you for even helping me cleanse what you catch, saith God. You're more concerned about what you catch and what comes in and how they're prepared, saith God. And he says, but they will be cleansed. They will be cleansed, saith God. You don't have to worry about the cleansing agent. You just about worry about getting them to the cleansing table, because my word will cleanse them, and I'll use you, my servant, to help cleanse and bring and catch, saith God. You continue on, but there's times when you need rest. There's times when you need rest. There's times when you need separation from the time of the world, from the time of business, from the time of self. You need time. You need rest, saith God. Don't let others hang and pull on you and become a weight, because those weights can sometimes be easily beset you. He says, because those weights, I'm not going to send you to do any trot line fishing. I'm going to send you where you won't be weighted down, but I'm going to send you where there'll be plenty of fish. And I'm going to teach you a new method.
Yes.
It's called cast net fishing. And he says, because you'll clean that net after that net's drawn in. He says, now go for my draw, saith the Lord.
Receive holy boldness. I speak boldness to you, my daughter, saith the Lord. Receive holy boldness in Jesus' name. Amen.
For there will be those that you would even catch, saith the Lord, that you will not be able to clean. And I've not sent them to you to be a burden unto thee.
Yes.
For only I can touch and cleanse them,
yes,
saith the Lord. For truly thou shalt understand the concept of cleansing and purging the net. For even the fisherman, should he not clean his net, will try to catch with old orders. I bring unto you a fresh and a new order, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Even discerning like never before, saith the Lord, I give unto thee, for thou shalt surely look upon the vessel and shall immediately know that you shall even catch them, and those that you can even clean, and those that you cannot even clean, saith the Lord. And I desire for you to come this way, so you'll not be overburdened. For my burdens are light, saith the Lord, and my yokes are easy, as long as you understand that I'm the one that would lead you to catch, but there will those you will not be able to clean. So let it not be a weight unto you. Let it not be a burden unto you. Just release them unto me. For I have others who fish other kind of nets and other giftings that will be able to help them, said the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. One other thing. Did I say that? I know what I want to say. I want to say it properly. That there's so many times when we cast our net out, or cast our bait out, we get a bunch of sucker fish come for it. And God says that your time of suckers are in the past. Okay. The leeches will be removed, saith God. You hold your standard, I'll remove the leeches. See? And he says, the leeches will say, cast over here. But I'm going to say, put in a deep line there, saith God. Put a deep line in here, saith God. And others will say, why are you catching fish, and you're doing this, and you're doing that, and I'm not producing? And the Lord will say, they're not placing their line where I've asked them to place it, saith God. You continue listening to me, saith God, and you place your line in deep water, saith God, and you'll bring the draw, saith God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. If you're here today and you really know that you have a grievous spirit, you're stingy. I mean, you want everything that you can get, and you just have a problem with handling things that people get. I mean, you're just a stingy type person. I'll tell you, this is the controlling spirit. It controls a lot of people. You know, I saw a lot of this in Haiti. We walk around the United States like this, but in some of the foreign countries, they walk around like this. They're holding everything they got real close to them because of the spirit of greed. They're trying to get everything they can get. If you're here, you need to come forward right now. We need to pray for you. We need to pray for you. Okay? Okay? Let's pray, gentlemen. What you've done to here, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for this campground, Father. And Father, I just thank you that I feel like that I'm already healed already. Father, I've had so much oil put on me, I think I can slide all the way back to Louisiana, all the way into the hospital room. I thank you, Father, that I'm already healed. I predict it. And I prophesied, and I thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you that there's going to be miracles happen after we leave today. Many, many miracles. And there's people going to come in, and there's people still coming in that's going to be getting set free. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. Father, I pray for that meal that we're fixing to receive in the lunchroom. I ask you to bless it to our bodies and our bodies into your service. Father, give us strength that we can go back to our homes, wherever they might be. Keep us safe as we travel. And Father, let us produce what you've called us to produce. And Father, I give you the praise and the glory for it, folks. Father, that when we go back, we'll be catchers of men. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true,
and with
thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true,
and
with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Well, Lord,
prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true,
and
with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Once more will
Lord prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Once more, Lord, prepare me to be a
sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
And the rock is higher than I got over high.
Under the rock, go tell my enemy, I'm under the rock, Jehovah hides me, under the rock.
I am under
the rock, and the rock is higher than I, Jehovah hides me.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.